The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
Good morning. It's great to be back. Thank you, Jerry. It's 20 years ago I came to Westminster from New Zealand seeking a theological education second to none. And I wasn't disappointed. I managed to squeeze my three-year degree into 4 years and enjoyed every moment of it. It was a wonderful time. So when I go into the library and I see my poor suffering brethren sitting there with their Greek cards and their Hebrew cards and struggling over the ancient texts, I know what it's like. I've been there. My heart goes out to you. And I trust that your labor in the Lord will not be in vain, particularly as the semester draws to a close. May the Lord bless you with your term papers and your exams and other assignments. Well, this morning I'd like to draw your attention to a passage in Mark chapter 10. Mark 10, and I'll be reading from verse 46. Mark 10, 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. My question for you this morning, as we look at this text, is this: who really was blind on the Jericho Road? Who really was blind on the Jericho Road? Then they came to Jericho. Jesus and his disciples, they were on their way to Jerusalem. We can see that from chapter 11, verse 1, as they approached Jerusalem. We can see that from verse 32 of our chapter. They were on their way to Jerusalem. Jesus and his disciples on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover. Now in the book of Mark, Mark has Jesus going to Jerusalem once in his earthly ministry, towards the end of his earthly ministry, and here they are headed to Jerusalem for the Passover. And they came to Jericho. Jericho is about 18 miles from Jerusalem, about one good day's trek. It was the last overnight stay before they reached their destination. They were not alone in their pilgrimage. There were other people seeking also to be in Jerusalem in time for the Passover. And together with a large crowd, they were leaving the city. The practice, it seems, would be that they would get up at daybreak and they would gather at the gate of the city of Jericho, and they would wait till a large enough crowd had gathered, and then they would move off together in a group heading towards Jerusalem. This was for security reasons. The road to between Jerusalem and Jericho was notorious for bandits, thieves, and robbers. So for security's sake, the pilgrims would wait until a large enough group of them had gathered at the Jericho gate, and then they would head out for Jerusalem. And this, it appears, is what they were doing. Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, about to depart on that last day's journey to Jerusalem. Now, sitting there at the gate was this blind beggar, Bartimaeus. Perhaps Bartimaeus sat here in a regular spot every morning, But these particular mornings, close to the Passover, were probably a very profitable time for Bartimaeus, as he sat there surrounded by these pilgrims whose pockets were filled with alms for the temple treasury. Doubtless there were many of them, as they were waiting for friends and family to join them, would have shared some of those alms with Bartimaeus. Well, the crowd had gathered. The children were running and shouting, and the dust was flying, and you could hear their shouts and their excitement as they were nearing their journey's end. And as the crowd came together and began to move off down the road, Bartimaeus heard from someone in the crowd that Jesus of Nazareth had joined them. And this crowd, in their anticipation and excitement about nearing the journey's end of their pilgrimage, was now had the added dimension that they would be traveling with the known miracle healer. And notice how the text puts it there in verse 4. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David." See how Mark has contrasted those two statements regarding Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, Son of David. Have mercy on me. This is the first time in Mark's gospel that Jesus has been referred to as Son of David. And we find to our surprise that the reference comes from no other than the mouth of a blind beggar. It seems like this blind beggar knew something of Jesus that caused him to believe that Jesus could help him in his blindness. He knew himself to be blind. He knew himself to be a beggar. And he knew that Jesus could do something about that. So he directed his cry of mercy towards Jesus, Son of David. I think it's also significant that here we have Jesus referred to as Son of David as he was about to enter the city of David. Well, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, and perhaps the many here are the same many of chapter 11, verse 8, the many who at the end of the day would be spreading their cloaks in front of Jesus. But right now, many are rebuking this blind beggar and telling him to be quiet. And perhaps in amongst the many there, we could see some of the disciples. Because remember, just a few chapters earlier in Mark, it's the little children coming to Jesus, and it's the disciples rebuking the children and seeking to drive them away. And we have seen nothing in Mark between that incident and this incident to give us any suggestion that the disciples have undergone a change of heart. So perhaps the many that were rebuking Bartimaeus may even have included some of the disciples. They told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." As Bartimaeus shouted above the crowd, and after years of shouting for alms, doubtless he had a great set of lungs, and he could make himself heard above any kind of a din, and he was determined that his cry would be heard, and nobody would have missed it. The crowd would have heard, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The disciples would have heard, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." It was almost like Bartimaeus hadn't been told about the messianic secret. He was just going to let it out. At the top of his voice, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And I don't believe Mark wanted his readers to miss the cry either. As we read the passage, we find ourselves startled by this insistent and loud cry from this blind beggar. Well, above the din, above the noise, above the children, above the cries, Jesus heard his call. Jesus will always hear the cry of a blind beggar. And this case is no exception. Jesus will always hear the cry of a blind beggar. Regardless of what else is going on around him, Jesus will hear that cry. Regardless of the press of the crowd around him, Jesus will be aware of the timid touch of a desperate woman. Jesus will be sensitive to the needs of blind beggars. So Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man. We see the fickleness of the crowd, don't we? Cheer up and on your feet. One moment they're trying to rebuke him and silence him, and the next moment they're hustling him forward to Jesus. So he threw his cloak aside and he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. I guess he stumbled through the crowd. His eyes were blind and the people were helping him and making a way for him and pushing him in front of Jesus so he would get there. And he came to Jesus in verse 51. We have the climax of the story. The stage has been set. Bartimaeus is finally face to face with the Son of David. And Jesus asks him this startling question: what do you want me to do for you? Why do you think Jesus asked this particular question of Bartimaeus? Well, there's been a number of possibilities suggested. One of them is that Bartimaeus, in his blindness, needed to hear the voice of Jesus so he could fix his blind eyes on the face of Jesus, so that when his eyes were opened, the first face in that crowd that he would see would be the face of Jesus, so that he would know where the miracle had come from. It was Jesus who had healed him and not just a voice he had heard above the crowd. That's a very good reason, but it doesn't necessitate that Jesus asks him a question in order to get his attention. He could have said simply, "Salome, Bartimaeus." He could have greeted him in order to get his attention. But why ask him this question? Well, another suggestion has been made that it was important that Bartimaeus articulate his faith in order for the miracle to take place. We can't dismiss this reason too lightly. Many times when Jesus is involved in healing people, he engages them in conversation. But I want to suggest to you that Bartimaeus had already made known his faith in that persistent cry to the Son of David to have mercy on him. Why this particular question? Jesus knew very well what Bartimaeus wanted, and so did Bartimaeus. Why then the question? Well, if you take the exegetical finger on your right hand, and if you place it on verse 51, and then take the exegetical finger on your left hand, and place it on verse 36 of the same chapter, you will discover, perhaps for the first time, the exactly same question repeated. In verse 36, Jesus turns to his disciples and he says to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And a few verses later, he turns to a blind beggar and asks the exact same question: "What do you want me to do for you?" The exact same question asked of two differently, totally different audiences and two completely different answers. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, nicknamed the sons of thunder, men who were used to getting what they wanted, men who were used to pushing to the front of the crowd and getting what their agenda dictated for them. These men had come to Jesus with a request, and Jesus asked them the same question he asked the blind beggar: "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said, "We want the preeminence in your glory." He asked the same question of a blind beggar. Bartimaeus' answer: "Rabbi, I want to see." Why did Jesus ask that question of blind Bartimaeus? Who really was blind on the Jericho Road? As he asked that question of Bartimaeus with his disciples standing there, he wanted his disciples' ears to prick up and say, "Huh, he's asking Bartimaeus the same question he asked us just recently." You see the point? In verse 37, they should have given the same answer that Bartimaeus gave in verse 51. But they missed it. Why did they miss it? Well, we're told back in Mark chapter 8 that Jesus turns to his disciples and he says to his disciples, "Do you still not see? Do you have eyes but fail to see?" The disciples were blind to the beggarliness of their condition. When they came and sought the preeminence of Christ's glory, they came in their blindness to seek what they should never have sought. Bartimaeus was alive to his condition. He knew himself to be a blind beggar in need of mercy. Who really was blind on the Jericho Road? Well, see, the applications just come tumbling out of this text, don't they? What do you want Jesus to do for you? Doubtless, while you're here at Westminster, your eyes will be open to many things, wonderful things, good things, glorious things. But areas of blindness will remain. And we go forth from this wonderful institution into the ministry among God's people. Blindness will remain. What do you want Jesus to do for you? Well, you'd want him to help him with your exams, and he will. and you want him to help you write your papers, and he will, because he is gracious and he is good. But areas of blindness will remain. And as Jesus showed his mercy towards Bartimaeus, and as in time he showed his mercy to his disciples, and he opened their eyes so they saw the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ,